Good morning. This is Local 100, deep in the heart of Texas. Here in Houston, Texas today, my name is Oral Fitzsimmons. I'm the head organizer here in Houston and also the state director for Local 100 and chief organizing director. And I'm here today with Ruthie Graves, a member of our union for the last 20 years at Gulf Coast Community Service Association, the steward, a person that goes to almost every leadership conference that we have at the local. This year's is going to be in Shreveport, Louisiana, and everyone there will be able to see her and tell her how great she sounded on the radio. So we're going to start out with a little biological information that lets you know who Ruthie is, and then we'll talk about the first time she joined up in the union in 1998 and some of the political activities she's been involved in, some of her family things, history with the family, and then a little bit about why she's in the union and why she thinks other people ought to join. So good morning, Ruthie.
Good morning. How are you all?
Well, we're doing just great. Listen, where'd you come from? You always lived here in Houston?
No, I didn't. I came from, I was born in a little town called Warden, Texas. I'm 59 going toward Victoria, Texas. And I've been here since I was 12 years old. I've been here for many, many years.
So your family moved here about when you were 12, huh?
We moved here when I was 12 years old, yes.
How many kids in your family?
It was 9, but now it's 7 of us. I lost 2 siblings.
Oh, my goodness. How'd you get started with Head Start?
I was a volunteer parent with Head Start back in 1978.
Well, how many children did you have?
At that time, I had 2.
2. Okay. And they both went to Head Start?
Yes, they did. As a matter of fact, I am a mother of 4. Now, I had 4. I lost 1 recently. But all 4 of my kids were students of Head Start.
Well, you know, I had 4 little nieces, and they all went to Head Start, too. They were down in the Rio Grande Valley, but they sure took advantage of that program. And they all grew up to be good little kids and good adults, just like yours did.
Yes.
So I think from my experience, the Head Start system agency encouraged parents to become teacher aides or teachers, whatever they were qualified for. So what was it, about 1982 when you started working for Gulf Coast?
May the 17th, 1982, when I first became employed with Gulf Coast Early Head Start.
And you've been with them ever since?
Yes. Well, I have been with them for 16 and a half years. In 98, and they had a reorganization, and I was let go to go over to the other grantee. But in 99, I was blessed enough to come back, so I've been back about 17 and a half, going on 18 years.
So it's way over 30 years that you've been with them. If I really count
my first day that I stepped foot into Gulf Coast, I would say I've been with them for 36 years.
My goodness. So you started out as a teacher aide after you were a volunteer. And they gave you some opportunities to get your teacher's certification, so you became a teacher, right?
Yes.
And how long were you a teacher?
Oh, I was a teacher for many, many years, about maybe 10 years, and then I became a teacher, a next in charge. I was working up under the supervisor, so when she wasn't there, I was over the center and the operations and the run of the center.
While she was gone?
Yes.
So that you got paid a little bit more for that, I guess.
It all came with my salary, and sometime when she was there, I ran the center.
Well, it must have been easy for her if you were running things and she was the center director.
Yes, because I could see things sometimes that she couldn't see.
Now, and I think that's been the case your entire career, because what you're doing now is certainly seeing things. We'll talk about that a little bit later, though. So we had a union election about 1994 or so, and we won that election, and we bargained the first contract. But at the beginning, you weren't a member, were you?
No, I was not.
So what made you change your mind? Did you meet a fine young man once by the name of Oral Fitzsimmons over at Clayton Homes?
Yes, I did. I met Mr. Fitzsimmons, and he asked me if I wanted to join the union. I told him no, I had to go home and think about it, and he asked me, what did I have to think about? And I just told him, I just don't want to talk right now. Then when I did get home, I eventually thought about it. Hey, I need to join the union, because I felt like joining the union would be something that I should do, because it would keep me with my job. I've seen a lot of jobs where if you wasn't in the union, if they was going to do a layoff, you'd be the first somebody to go. But if you was in the union, they had to bargain with that union representative of the union, period. And your job, to me, was always would always be safe if you was in the union.
Well, at one time, they put out a thing when we were first starting the union. They put out a, and once we had the union, they put out a notice saying that 30 of y'all were going to be terminated.
Right. And you, they tried to give us those letters without you knowing, and we called you, and you got right on top of it. That was like on a Friday. That Monday, following Monday, they called back into the office and said, disregard the letters.
Well, we just wadded that up and shoved it down their throats like it should have
right.
been.
Right.
Now, when we first started organizing the union there, and we found out that a lot of the people, the Family Service Associates and such, were getting paid $6,000 less than the going rate out in the community. So once we got the contract, and I think this directly affected you, once we got the contract, you got almost a $6,000 raise.
Yes, I did.
How'd that feel?
Oh, felt great. I felt like I was the most blessed person in the world. Because I really could use that increase in my salary. I had worked so long for so little money, and I felt like that was the best thing that could have happened to me, but I couldn't have done it without you all, the local union.
Well, we appreciate you, because I guess once you become a member, you don't only become a member, but you start getting involved in what we're doing, and
getting a better understanding of the union also.
Right. So now you're still working at Head Start, but you're not a teacher anymore or next in charge. What is your job title?
I am a child development specialist.
Okay, and what does that mean?
I go out to each center. I have been assigned to 5 sites. Sometimes I go to extra center. It all depends on my department. If someone is out of the department, I go to different centers and I mentor the teachers. I guide the teachers. I coach the teachers. And not only am I there for the teachers, but I'm there for the children and their families. And I make sure that the teachers are following the performance standards, the minimum standards, and they're doing their daily lessons. They are interacting and engaging in the activities of the children, not only on just one day, but daily day.
I have a question. When you first started working at Head Start, did they have anyone like you doing that, or is this a new position, or what's the deal with that?
Well, they had what you call the education coordinators. They would come out and visit the sites. So when they decided they wanted to come up, they saw other programs had, other grantees had mentors. That's when I first got the position. I was called a mentor.
Oh,
and
okay.
They decided they wanted to have mentors, and I was interviewed for the position, and I got the position.
Oh, okay. So let me see. So today, in that job you have, you mentor about 33 teachers.
At my sites, yes.
Yeah.
Along with the CAs, the center administrators. I work with the center administrators. In order to work with the teachers, we have to all work together as a team. So each center have a center administrator. A couple centers have center administrators next in charges. But I work with all the staff, the CAs and the teaching staff.
So,
and not only the teaching staff, I just work with everyone, the family service associate, the cooks, the housekeepers. We all work together as one big team.
And since you've been around so long and done most of these jobs, you know how to help them get better at what they're doing, which results in a better agency for the children.
Right.
And that's what it's all about.
Right.
Now, after you got involved in our union, you became a member of our bargaining committee. And we've now bargained some 4 or 5 different contracts over the years. And I think every contract gets a little bit better. I think we had a problem in Gulf Coast where teachers would be gone for a month or two, and the teacher aide would have to change, you know, do the class, and they weren't being paid anymore. So I think we finally got somebody on committee to write up a proposal, and we actually got $1 more an hour for doing the teacher's job, and now I think we have it up to $3 an hour.
Right, and that couldn't have not been done without Mr. Ora Fitzsimmons, because they might bargain with us, and if he don't like what they saying, he's not going to stop until the bargaining committee get what we want. And we truly thank Mr. Fitzsimmons for that.
Well, you know, I think it's the committee that actually makes it happen, and the unity we have with the workers together in keeping our membership rate high, and that impresses the agency. So I think it's just like you have teamwork in the Head Start centers, we have teamwork in the union. So it's not all my fault or all my get all the credit. Everyone gets credit. By working together, we keep the union strong. Can you think of anything that we've had in the contract in the last couple of times that has actually improved the place to be a good place to work? I know we always do a contract survey, and one of the questions we always ask is there one thing that could make working at Gulf Coast a better place to work? Have we done anything recently that you might come to mind?
I'm trying to think. I got so much stuff going on right now with us being up for grabs.
Up for grabs? Well, let's talk about that then. Every 5 years, the agency is reviewed by the big shots at Head Start, and then they're given another five-year contract, or they lose their contract, depending on how well they've been doing the Head Start way in the last 5 years. So Gulf Coast is now being reviewed, right?
Yes, we are.
Has that created a lot of tension?
Well, I can't really answer that. I can't say. I can only answer that for myself. I kind of think about it, but I know we're going to be okay. If everybody get together and work as a team, we're going to get through this recomposition.
Well, you know, we went through this same process last year up in Shreveport, Louisiana, where we have a contract with the agency up there. And they were on pins and needles, but they passed it. And this agency down here has actually ran a little bit better than that one. So I think there's a good chance.
I think we're going to pass.
Good chance we're going to pass that mm-hmm. and get another five-year contract, which will be a good thing. But until it happens, we're kind of... So what is the things you like the most about the leadership conference that you go to every year?
Well, I just like how we all get together from different parts of Louisiana, Texas, Alabama, and everybody just get in there.
Arkansas.
We become as family. We're union family, and everybody know everybody, and Mr. Wade and Mr. Fitzsimmons just get in there, and we just have a good time at our leadership conference. And I have learned a lot, because when I first went, I say, this is not no leadership conference, but each year I go, it gets better and better. I learn a little bit more.
And you become a better leader.
Oh.
When I first started working with you, I'd ask you to help me sign up members, and you know, you would never ever quite get around to it. But you know, like me, I always say once a day, my mama didn't teach me how to give up, so I don't know how. So I kept working with you, and eventually you helped me sign up members. As a matter of fact, you used to help me identify the new people that were coming in the door so I could go out and visit them at their centers. And, you know, it's people doing little things make a big difference in the long run. So it's when you have a member that helps and, you know, is not one, you know, that makes a big difference because it makes us stronger and gets us out there where we need to be is among the people.
Right.
We had a leadership conference last year, and it just happened to be here in Houston. And I think that you played a big role in that, along with another lady by the name of Carmen West, who is a food service food manager at one of the HISD schools, which we'll probably be interviewing later this week. Y'all played a very important role in helping us feed 45 or 50 people that came there, and we had some of the best barbecue ribs in captivity in Texas that your husband did. And we also, Carmen is an excellent cook and helped make the potato salad and the beans and the cake. And I was thinking that this last week I drove by a Sam's Club where we went to buy all the food. And it was kind of sad because Sam's Club is now closed.
This one closed to us, yes.
Right. The one that we used closed. And it was a wonderful experience going with you and Carmen to that store and rummaging through all the food and making decisions of what to get, because y'all know how to feed a big crew of people, and I was there at your knee learning how to do it.
Well, we thank you for that.
Well, it's so bad that next time we have one here, we won't be able to use Sam Club.
We go to Sam, just not that one. We just go to the
Oh, there's another one in town?
There's different locations, yes.
Wow. See, that's the only one I ever knew about, so I thought that was the only one.
We have a couple more that we can go to.
I wish they had checked with us before they closed it. But I read in the paper it was closing, so I knew it was going to happen. Let me see. I think the next thing we need to talk about is your political leadership conference. We don't want to forget that. The leadership conference, we had a very distinguished speaker. His name was?
Congressman Al Green.
And what was his big thing he talked about?
Well, he mostly talked about the presidential impeachment of our president, President Donald Trump.
Well, I think he was the first congressman in the Congress to deliver to the floor of the House impeachment articles of impeachment.
Right.
And he had just done that about a month before we had our leadership conference. So I know everyone at the conference was interested in that because most of the people at the conference, if not all, was kind of interested in seeing that happen. And I don't think anything's happened in this last year that changed our attitude about that, has it?
No, it hasn't.
So, and we also had another visitor, a state representative, Ronald Reynolds.
Yeah, state representative Ronald Reynolds also stopped by to visit us. He was in a hurry, but we just thanked him for stopping to take the time out to come and speak at our leadership conference.
Now, who's he married to?
He's married to my CEO.
CEO of Gulf Coast?
My CEO of Gulf Coast Head Start, early Head Start, Gulf Coast Community Services.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that can never hurt to be on his good side. And he's the guy that we went out to visit in Fort Bend County, help him get reelected. As a matter of fact, our union donated some money to that campaign because he's a good Democrat. And, you know, pretty much we support Democrats. So that made for a good conference, and we're looking forward to the one we're going to have this year. It's going to be June the 22nd and 23rd, 23rd and 24th, a Saturday and a Sunday. It's going to be in Shreveport, Louisiana. Y'all, anyone listening to this that's a member of Local 100, be sure to get your deposits in to come to that meeting. We sure would like to have you there. We've been in, other than Congressman Green and State Representative, what's his name?
Ron Reynolds.
We've also been involved in some other politics. We have a wonderful mayor here in town. His name, he used to be a state representative for 24 or so years, and now he's the mayor. His name is Sylvester Turner. And you worked in his campaign. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
It was very nice. That was the first time I ever done it. I had been asked to do it before, but I had never had a chance to do it. And I really did not only enjoy my day, but I learned a lot of things. It was kind of scary at first getting on the phone calling different people because some callers were nice, some callers wasn't. But the ones that was nice, they promised to come out and vote for him, and they told the truth because he won. He became the mayor of Houston.
Now, there were thousands and thousands, hundred thousands of votes, but I think he won by like 1,800. So the work we did, and it wasn't just you. I think Carmen West was there making calls, too.
Yes, she was.
And we talked about it earlier that helped us with the food there at the leadership conference. She was out there making calls, and I was there, and we had a few other members. Can't remember who they were right now. But so we pitched in, and it was a really close election, but he won, and he did a really good job during the hurricane here in the city we had last summer, and protecting and trying to help as many people as he can. So that was a fun thing. So now I'm going to ask you, we kind of mentioned him just a little bit earlier about impeachment, but here's a chance for you to talk about a little bit about what you think about our current president and how he's doing in running the country.
You really want me to answer that question?
Honestly, with a lot of vim and a lot of vigor.
Well, as far as me being a Democrat, I really don't think he's doing what he said he was going to do, and I'm going to pass on the other thoughts in my mind.
No,
I'm not
going
to put it on the radio.
Now, Ruthie, I hate to say this, but you know that this is a 30-minute program, so we're gonna have to fill the air up for the people around the world that are gonna be listening to this. And by the way, this is gonna go out on the internet, so anyone on Earth can actually hear it. And I think they can actually hear it also, if they want to, on the space station going around the Earth right now. So this is going out everywhere, and we don't want to lose that opportunity to talk about one of the worst things that ever happened to our country. We have a person that can't tell the truth. We have a person that lies all the time. We have a person that degrades Hispanics and blacks and Chinese people and Congress people. He degrades federal judges. He's lied over, I think he's lied on the average of 9 lies a day since he's been elected. And I don't know about you, but I was raised in the Baptist church, and my mama didn't raise me to act like that. Now, what kind of church were you raised in?
I am Baptist. I was raised in a Baptist church.
Amen. Well, I don't know where he was educated when he was a young man, but it seems like we just grew up different than him. Now, is there just one thing? I mean, there's a lot of things that we could talk about, but is there just one thing that kind of gets under your skin about the gentleman?
Like I said, I just don't care to answer that on air. I will not answer that question on air. I'm going to keep that to myself.
It's that bad. You don't even want to talk about it.
I'm going to keep that to myself.
Okay. Well, let me get to something I know you'd love to talk about, and that is your husband. Now, you, what is your husband's name?
My husband's name is Gene Elton Land.
And Mr. Land. And how long y'all been married?
40 years.
40?
Yes.
Well, you're 5 years ahead of me and my wife. My goodness, we're going to catch you eventually.
We was very young when we got married. Now we're getting old together.
So, I know he does a lot of good things, but one of the best things he does is barbecue ribs. Do you have any idea how he got to be such a barbecuer?
Well, not only is he a good barbecue, he's just a good cook. He can cook mostly everything, but everybody loves his barbecue. They say he have the best barbecue ribs in Texas. And as we're sitting here saying that, you can speak for that yourself. How did the ribs taste?
Well, I just don't need to go any other. I pretty much quit buying ribs out at the stores and cooking them myself. I've quit buying them at restaurants. Only time I eat ribs now is when Mr. Land's ribs are available. And I really liked them. In fact, I took some home from the leadership conference and froze them. And every so often, I'll take 3 or 4 out unfreeze them and warm them up a little bit. And they were just as delicious before I freezed them. So I was pretty happy with that. And I think I also got a big old jar of his barbecue sauce that he made.
Homemade barbecue sauce.
And I still have some of that. And it's been almost a year because you gave me a big old bottle of it. And I'm still putting it on my barbecue when I...
Well, let me tell you a little secret about that barbecue sauce. You don't have to just put it on your ribs. You can eat it just with some bread. As a matter of fact, you just drink that barbecue sauce by itself.
You can eat it with a spoon. You can eat it with a spoon. It's so good. Matter of fact, someday I think we're going to have Mr. Land come and do an interview, and we're going to talk extensively for 30 minutes about barbecuing. Because, a lot of our members, they like to barbecue, but it's really best that they do it the right way. And so we need to... Keep that in mind and have him here sometime. Now, you said you had 3 children?
I was a mother of 4, but
4
now
children.
I have 3.
Now you have 3 because one passed away.
Yes.
But one of your sons just retired from the Air Force, Army, after 20 years.
Yes, my oldest son.
He's back in town now?
Yes, he's back here in Houston for right now. He retired... He had his retirement ceremony March the 23rd.
Did you go to that?
Yes, I did. Me and my family. It was a beautiful ceremony.
You were pretty proud of him, weren't you?
Very proud of him.
Army, he would do those big guns.
Yes.
I hope he wore those little things in his ears so he didn't lose his eardrums.
Yes, I hope so. But he went when he was 19, so he's 38 years old now. He'll be 39 coming up in August.
Wow.
And I raised his son, which is 19, he's first year in college, and now I am raising my 4-year-old granddaughter. My baby girl died November 23rd. She was an RN nurse, so I have her 4-year-old grandbaby. She's also a Head Start. She was also a Head Start kid, just like all of my children.
Well, I think if they ever pick someone to represent Head Start nationwide, they ought to be picking you in my book.
Thank you.
So he's finished with the Army. Do you have any idea what he's going to do with the rest of his young life?
Well, I really don't know. I heard him say something about he was interested in becoming an ROTC recruiter at one of the high schools. So I think he put in his applications at several high schools.
So the Army was good for him, and it could be good for these kids if they gave it a try.
Yes.
Okay. So you you're planning to maybe work in Head Start for 3 or 4 more years before you retire?
It all depends on what Uncle Sam say. I thought I was going to retire last year, but Uncle Sam said no, so I plan on maybe giving it another 2 to 3 years, maybe.
Well, we got to back up whatever Uncle Sam says.
Oh,
now,
yes.
For our listeners out there in radio land, I'd like you to give us a couple of minutes on about why anyone listening that's not a member might want to join Local 100, and then a little bit about what your future looks like.
First, I would like to say, if you're not a member out there, and if you have a Local 100 union, please join it, because the union can do so many things for you and your family, especially when it comes down to your job. The union have to represent you, but if you're a paying member, this is just me personally thinking that the union going to be with you 100%. So if you're not a member of a local union 100, please join, because they saved my job three times, and I really thank God for being at that time a union member. Because had I not been a member, I don't believe I would be sitting here today.
Well, that's good. Now, our union, when you join the union at Gulf Coast or at HISD or any other entity, the state of Arkansas, you don't only become a union member, but you become part of our family. So we certainly want to make it clear to our prospective new members or the members that are listening today that are already members that, you know, when you have a problem, maybe you have an insurance problem, or you're in a car wreck and you need an attorney that you can trust, yes, which is not always something that happens, that you need to call our offices. And we happen to know a few working people type of lawyers that'll give you a payment plan and they will treat you right. And so that helps. Now, the union organizers like myself, we're not lawyers, so we're not going to be able to represent you in court, but we can give you that very important, you know, information of who you can trust in the legal system, because you can't trust everybody. And then people, you know, so is anything that happens in your life, there's a good chance that you can help you with those problems. And because we know that a happy member makes a better worker, in the agencies we work with or the school districts we work with will be better places if our employees are happy and not, you know, overly concerned about things that happen in their lives. So be sure.
Speaking of the union being able to help you with, they're not a lawyer that can go to court to represent you, but they can refer you to maybe a lawyer, because I have to use my union rep to help me and my husband, my family with the situation. And it was one of the lawyers so happened to be in this building where we're sitting today. And I was just grateful to have Mrs. Fitzsimmons here to refer me and my family to this lawyer. And the outcomes was very, very good. And I just thank God for my union again.
Well, you know, it's a... we'll probably end this interview with a short story. I was going once to Waco. And on the way to Waco, there was a little city called Hearne, Texas, where we used to have a union at the nursing home. I had my son with me because he was going up there to talk to some of the officials at the Baylor University. So we happened to stop by my number one steward at the time when we had the union there. And we knocked on her door, and her son came to the door and said she didn't live here anymore, but she lives right around the corner. So we went down to the house he pointed us to, and we knocked on her door again. And darn it, if she didn't come to the front door. And she hadn't seen me probably in 10, 15 years. And her eyes got real big. And she said, "Oral Fitzsimmons." Says, "You know what? Those days that we had the union of the nursing homes were the best days of my life." And then she gave me a real big hug. And you know what? It was really nice to get the hug. It was really nice to hear what she had to say. But the whole nicest thing about that whole event was my son sitting there watching it happen. Because it gave him a feeling for what this union means to people. And it gives him a better feeling about what unions do in this country. And we give people hope. And we give them a way to fight back when the boss doesn't treat them right. And when they try to terminate people. We have in our contract, it says you have a right to your job unless you were terminated for just cause. And that justice doesn't come every day in the workplace. In a lot of places, it never comes. So here we are in deep in the heart of Texas, here in Houston, talking to Ruthie Graves, a Gulf Coast employee. And We'll be back next week with our good friend Carmen West. We'll talk about her cooking and about her work in HISD and being a big TV star. So thanks again for listening. Local 100, deep in the heart of Texas. Bye.
This program is produced by the Arkansas Broadcasting Foundation, KABF-FM in Little Rock, Arkansas, and is distributed through Affiliated Media Foundation Movement, AMFM, serving the needs and interests of low and moderate income Americans.